Rule number 3. Asking teachers about their boyfriends is against the rules. The minute Mrs. Hunter said we were going on a field trip, everyone in room 209 went bananas. Because room 209 had never been on a field trip before. At least not while I had been there. The girls all squealed with delight. The boys all fist bump one another. Patrick Day, who sits on the end of my row, jumped on top of his desk and played air guitar until Rosemary pulled him down by the belt loops of his jeans. Stuart Maxwell, who sits on one side of me, started making farting noises with his armpit. And Joey Fields, who sits on my other side, began barking like a dog. It took all my powers of being a positive influence to get them both to settle down. The truth was, however, I was pretty excited myself. Due to one simple but totally embarrassing fact. I had never been on a field trip before. I know, amazing but true. It wasn't that my old school, Walnut Nose Elementary, hadn't taken us on any field trips. It was just that every single time, something had happened on the day of the trip to prevent me from being able to go. Not something that had to do with me being irresponsible either. At least, not in my opinion. Like the time in first grade when my class got to go to the ice skating rink as a very special prize for not talking in line on the way to the art and music rooms all semester? I got the chicken pox. Getting the chicken pox was not my fault. That can happen to anyone. And the time in second grade when my class was scheduled to go to the state park to learn about nature preservation? The day before we were supposed to go, there was an unprecedented flooding event, so all the trails in the park were washed out for the season, and the trip was canceled. How is that my fault? I can't control the weather. But okay, the thing in third grade? In third grade, our whole class was supposed to take a bus into the city to go to the Children's Museum. This was a very big deal because the Space Quest Planetarium with a Digistar sky projection system in 3D had just opened there. And so had the Dinosphere, where you get to explore what it was like during the Cretaceous period more than 65 million years ago. But what was most important, it had an exhibit of rare collectible Barbies. Not that I cared about that. I mean, very much. I was very excited, just in general, about going to the Children's Museum. So was my best friend, Mary Kay Shiner. Mary Kay was so excited about it that she said I should give her my signed permission slip to hand in. Because back then, I had a slight tendency to lose things. Not like now. I'm very responsible about those kinds of things now. She wanted to be especially sure I wouldn't make the colossal mistake of losing something as important as the signed permission slip to go to the Children's Museum with the rest of our class. I never imagined at the time that Mary Kay and I would have a big fight, even though throughout our entire friendship we fought every day, and that Mary Kay would hand in her permission slip but accidentally, on purpose, forget to hand in mine. Something I wouldn't find out until the morning of the field trip, when it was too late to do anything about it. Because my parents had taken Kevin to Big and Small Lots to buy giant rolls of paper towels, which is a store outside of their cell phone provider's network, so my teacher couldn't reach them. So where was I while my class was having fun watching the wonders of the universe at the planetarium and the children's museum in 3D glasses and being chased by animatronic dinosaurs and seeing rare collectible Barbies? I was sitting in the Walnut Nose Elementary School principal's office drawing pictures of dogs with Mrs. Jones, the principal's administrative assistant. Although she did say I draw excellent pictures of dogs, which is true. They're based on my own dog, Marvin. Mary Kay and I became friends again, of course, because after she came back from her super fun day at the Children's Museum, she cried and said she was sorry and begged me to forgive her. Mom and Dad said that it was really my fault for being so irresponsible as to trust something as important as a permission slip to somebody as flaky and frankly mean as Mary Kay. But if you ask me, I just have the worst field trip luck of anyone. It's pretty much a rule that if there's going to be a field trip and Allie Finkel is scheduled to go on it, you can just count her out. But not this time. The minute I heard Mrs. Hunter say the words field and trip, I knew this was going to be different. Because now, in fourth grade, I was finally going to get to go on a field trip. I was responsible enough now that I knew I wasn't going to let anything stand in my way. I didn't even care where we were going, just so long as I was going to get to go somewhere. And on a bus. A real school bus. Of course, I never had gotten to go to the Children's Museum, much less see that exhibit of rare collectible Barbies, which had turned out to be a traveling exhibit and had left the city shortly after my class had seen it. But maybe this was going to be my lucky chance. Maybe the Barbie exhibit had come back. Of course, the minute the chattering, farting noises, and barking died down, Cheyenne O'Malley's hand shot up into the air. Excuse me, Mrs. Hunter, she said. Mrs. Hunter heaved a tiny sigh. Probably only I heard it, because I hear everything Mrs. Hunter does. Yes, Cheyenne? She asked. I'd like to nominate where we go on our class field trip, Cheyenne said, putting her arm down. I didn't know we could nominate where we could go. If so, I wanted to nominate the Barbie exhibit.
Cheyenne, Mrs. Hunter said, that's already been decided.
Cheyenne looked furious. But we never even got any say in the matter, she said. And it's my understanding that the new Taylor Swift movie is opening this weekend at the mall.
Well, Cheyenne, Mrs. Hunter said patiently as M&D and the rest of the girls in room 209 sucked in their breath eagerly while the boys made various noises in imitation of throwing up or gagging at the idea of going to a Taylor Swift movie. That is very interesting. However,
it was right then that something hit one of the classroom windows. Not hard enough to break it. Just hard enough to make a sharp rap noise. Not smack or thud, like the body of a bird accidentally flying into the windows would either. Everyone looked over at the windows. That's when it happened again. Rap!
Hey! Stuart Maxwell yelled. Somebody's shooting at the windows!
Nah, Patrick Day said knowledgeably, because he has a BB gun. That's just rocks.
Of course, everyone jumped up from their seats and hurried over to the windows to see who would be throwing rocks at our classroom windows, even though Mrs. Hunter was saying,
Class, please remain in your seats. I'll take care of this.
When we got to the windows and looked down into the playground, we were disappointed to see a tall man with brown hair, wearing a suit and carrying a small suitcase, not a SWAT outfit and carrying a machine gun, reaching down to pick up another handful of gravel at the bottom of the flagpole to throw at our windows. When he looked up and saw all of us pressing our faces to the windows, he straightened, smiled, and waved at us in a very excited way. We waved back automatically. Who is he? Everyone wanted to know. Why is he throwing gravel at our windows?
He looks nice, a lot of the girls said.
He's crazy, several of the boys said. Maybe he's homeless.
But he has a suitcase, the girls said.
He's not homeless, Mrs. Hunter said. She looked like she was trying not to laugh. He's just an old friend who's being very silly.
Mrs. Hunter waved for her silly old friend to leave. He put both hands over his chest and staggered around the flagpole like his heart was breaking and he was dying. I tried not to laugh, just like Mrs. Hunter, but it was hard not to. Even Mrs. Hunter was smiling, though she looked like she was trying to keep her expression disapproving as she pulled the string to lower the blinds. Everyone groaned. We wanted to see what Mrs. Hunter's silly old friend would do next.
Go back to your seats, everyone, Mrs. Hunter said,
but she was still smiling.
The show is over. I'm sorry for that interruption. My friend was just trying to be funny.
Mrs. Hunter, Cheyenne asked, was that your boyfriend? I was kind of shocked that Cheyenne asked that. Asking teachers about their boyfriends is against the rules, I thought. I was glad when Mrs. Hunter said,
I'm afraid that's none of your business, Cheyenne. Then, as we were all taking our seats again, and Mrs. Hunter went on to explain how attending the new Taylor Swift movie was never going to be something she'd have considered us doing as a class during school hours because of its lack of educational merit, I wondered if Mrs. Hunter did have a boyfriend. I knew she was divorced and that she had a little son, but she was also very pretty and not that old, at least not as old as my mom. So why wouldn't Mrs. Hunter have a boyfriend? And why wouldn't he be funny and do something like throw rocks at her classroom window to show her how much he liked her? Boys do even weirder things than that to show girls that they like them, such as try to wipe boogers on them. Still, it was weird to think of Mrs. Hunter with a boyfriend. Did Mrs. Hunter go on dates, like to the movies and restaurants and stuff, like Erica's older sister Missy says she's going to do, just as soon as she meets a boy who isn't completely immature and likes gymnastics as much as she does? I don't know why, but the thought of Mrs. Hunter going on dates with the man from the flagpole made me feel weird. Psst! Rosemary was leaning back in her chair and whispering to me. She, too, had been relegated to the last row in our class in the hopes of being a positive influence. Although I suspect mainly it's because she's way bigger than Patrick Stewart and Joey.
I think you're finally going to get to ride on a bus.
I know, I whispered back. This was much better than thinking about Mrs. Hunter's maybe boyfriend.
Where do you think we're going to go?
Rosemary asked.
Honeypot.
Patrick Day, who sits on the other side of Rosemary, whispered to us out of the side of his mouth.
If you ever call me that again, I'll make you eat this, Rosemary said, showing him the side of her fist.
Patrick looked bored.
No, I meant the one-room schoolhouse at Honeypot Prairie. We just started that unit on pioneer settlers to our area, remember? When Mrs. Danielson's class next door started their unit on pioneer settlers, they had to go to Honeypot Prairie, so why wouldn't we?
Rosemary and I exchanged horrified glances, and sure enough, the next thing we knew, Mrs. Hunter was saying,
Class, for our field trip this Friday, we'll be going to Honeypot Prairie to visit their restored one-room schoolhouse and living history museum that recreates the lives of the pioneer settlers to our area.